Awesome Friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about All Over You?
Or how about My Sweet Love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Morning.
Hi.
Morning.
So we've got a question from a listener.
Ooh.
It's a long one. Bear with me. But I like the details. So.
All right.
I've been married to my husband for nearly 20 years. This is the second marriage for both of us, and we don't have children together.
Okay.
When we got married, I had an established work history, and I brought money into the relationship. Over time, we agreed that I would stop working, and I haven't been employed since the early years of our marriage.
Okay. So I wonder, like, does he have a business? Is she helping, like, that way?
You know? I wonder what preceded that? Why they decided to have her stop working?
Well, unless he makes enough money that it just didn't matter if she worked or not.
And I am a weirdo. And I'm like, I don't care how much money this other person makes. To me, like, that is my safety net.
That's actually really smart. But sometimes, like I know, like, in my situation and stuff like that, it's just like when the other person's life gets so crazy, that's true. No, that's probably actually really healthy. So when the other person's life gets so crazy that if you had a crazy life too, you wouldn't have a relationship.
Yeah. And then maybe she's helping him in his business a little bit.
And usually maybe it's like, I'll
let go of what I'm doing to help you a little bit.
Yes,
grow
exactly.
Your business.
Yeah.
Or I will take on all of this responsibility so can focus on getting this stuff done.
I will say this, just watching people in my life, and I'm not going to say name names, but I've seen people who have helped their spouse grow their business or be a part of that business. And to bring into a relationship, because, I mean, you've got your work relationship, you've got your interdependent, like, between the two of you relationship. Yeah. And when you mesh the two, like, it can bring work home and it can make the dynamics of your personal relationship very strained. I'll just say it. I grew up with this. I watched this my whole life growing up. My parents, not a good thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And I will never work with my husband. I love him to death. And I think that's why, because we don't work together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I won't do it ever because I just want to keep that separate.
Yeah.
I actually think that that's pretty smart.
And I don't want I will always work because it fills my cup. Mm-hmm. And I need that.
I think that's probably smart. I probably should go back to work just because I think that I tend to always be a support person. But even if I'm working full time, I'm a support person.
Yeah.
And so I tend to lean towards relationships where my role is support person, whether or not I'm working full time or not. I still take on all of that responsibility and weight in the relationship. So,
and I have a fear base. I'll tell you, I just have a fear around, like, if I don't maintain myself as somebody who is hireable and shit hits the fan, because I don't know if shit's going to hit the fan or not. Like, that's going to make it that much more difficult for me to be employable.
That's true.
Yeah. So I've just always wanted to keep my foot in the door. So it always, like, to me, that line right there is that we agreed that I would stop working. Is it we agreed, or were you pushed into this, or did you want it? Like, what were the dynamics there? Because that does put that person into a vulnerable position.
Personally, I'm trying to just put myself in her place for a minute here. Mm-hmm. Simply because I've always been growing up in my relationship, I've never been able to rely on somebody else. Like, I have always had to be independent and making my own money.
Right.
To contribute or.
Yeah.
And even in my, for my mom too, she always had to be working. She couldn't depend on anybody else. So seeing that, I have kind of taken that on myself. And I don't know, but I don't know how I would be if I suddenly was in a relationship with somebody who had a lot of money and was offering to say like, hey, you don't need to do that anymore. Just, you know, come, you can help. I need help. Come help me. We can work together. We can be together. We can do these things. That's it kind of, when I think about that, I'm like, that
sounds sort of appealing.
I'll buy you a car. Let's get married. We'll go on vacations together. I will pay for all this.
I've just seen how bad it can go.
It can, but but sometimes like when you're in a relationship, you don't think that it could go wrong. You're like, how could this go wrong? We are so in love.
Yes. Those colored glasses are wonderful.
And we're so happy. We're so happy working together. This is good.
But I will tell you, like, there are some situations at work, like, that get really, really tough. And I'm just like, I'm so glad that I'm not dealing with that on top of my just personal relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's just quadrupling the strain. Mm-hmm. That's just my personal experience. Though,
I think that it has to do with the partner because, like,
it may work for some people.
In my first relationship, it didn't.
No, that did not work.
It didn't matter. Well, no, but it didn't matter if I was working full time or if I was, stay at home momming it. I did not have control over my money. The bills came out of my accounts, and if I made a $30,000 commission, then I would not get any funds until my account was wiped out. And so, but all of the life bills would come out of my stuff. So I never
Learning what you know now, like we do know that that's domestic abuse, like that's financial abuse.
Yes. But that was, so honestly, like I think that it has more to do with who the person is, who the partner is, because it's either because right now, I don't work but having lived in financial abuse, for almost 30 years, I can say, there's no power dynamic or control with Bob from an economic standpoint. And I'm not the one, and what's really weird to me is it feels so weird to not have money be a form of control. It's really weird. So
in some dynamics it can work, in others it can be very abusive.
But also I wasn't free when I was working full time. And so the concept that you would be free if you were working, full time, I think it has to come down to...
Well, no, it's not that. It's about employability.
Yes, exactly. So that's the scary thing is when, and
because it's hard if like you when go for I,
yeah,
20
when
years
you
without
lose,
working.
When you lose your employability because, and one of the, and in my last relationship, the one that I finally got out of, thank God, I did work on all of our rental things the last few years completely, and I was remodeling
all
of
the
this.
Table under the books,
and I got like, super fucked on all of it.
Yeah,
like but he had done that through everything, like when he ruined my real estate books.
So bottom line, when it comes to that, when you were like being asked to be taken out of the job market, and if she doesn't say that she's helping him with his business.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know if he's
but
a business
owner. But a lot of the time, even if you're being a domestic partner, if you're in a complicated, if your spouse has a complicated work environment, there's a lot, like we were talking too, me not working gives my husband access to his kids more.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting dynamic. They're also unique.
What's her thing?
Yeah.
A little bit more. So recently, my husband decided we should sell the home we had lived in for most of our marriage. A home that had quadrupled in value. That's huge. And that's like winning the lottery. He said it would make us cash rich and give us more freedom.
I trusted him. I believed we were still making decisions as a team, so I agreed. We sold the house and moved into an apartment. This is, okay, so that's kind of what we did a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
We decided to sell our house.
But yes, but you moved into, like, you had a, like, we're going to move somewhere and it's going to be, like, for a job. And
it wasn't. Well, no. Okay, it was, but the primary reason was financial.
Yeah. Yeah, but someplace where you could buy a house.
It did give us more financial freedom.
We
downsized.
Yes, but you still have, you have a lovely home. It sounds like an apartment after, like, being in a beautiful home.
I really was up into, why we got into the home that we got into is because I was dragging my feet so long. And I was about to sign on a lease for an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't want to get into a home because I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it would be really fun to build a home together. Actually, like, pull out my hammer and nails and, like, you know, build something.
Yeah.
I know.
In your free time.
My free time. But I still want to do that, by the way. However, like, it's just really finding land was hard. And so I'm like, just now is not the time. That's still on my back burner, though, down the line. But, like, that was a decision that we made, like, primarily based on the financial freedom.
Yes.
More than it was for work or any other factor.
Okay. So let's just say you did that. You moved to, like, you couldn't find anything. So you moved to an apartment. You're used to, like, living in this amazing house that you absolutely love.
You put your time and money into something.
You love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's your home. You have to sell it and you downsize to an apartment that sounds depressing where you're around a lot of other people. And what happens is
I couldn't stomach the change because
it sucks.
All the different rules you have to abide by now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to move somewhere and have possibilities and future with something. It doesn't sound like this is happening for her. It sounds like
you lost everything.
So it sounds to me like, okay, I've lost my employability. Now I've lost my, like, now I have to live.
I lost my nest.
I lost my nest. I have to live under, like, all these rules and regulations that come with living.
It's not
in my
space. Yeah, this isn't, and it's this not, isn't my space.
I was like, the last straw for me why I couldn't sign the lease is because they wanted my dog's poop to test its DNA case.
What? I think that is the most ridiculous thing
the dog poops on the grass. They would pull that poop up, get a DNA tested, and charge us like
who do they
spine.
Pay to do that?
DNA poop
guy?
They do.
Well, you pay.
That you have to take it.
So weird.
So when they charge you for the test plus a fee.
Yes. Yeah, so and ultimately, I'm like,
$200
I can't do it. But I secretly want to just, like, take my dog's poop and, like, leave it in that apartment complex just to mess with them. Live there. I just want to mess with them.
Yeah.
So anyway.
They don't have any DNA for that dog. They're like, whose dog is
Who's hiding their dog?
Well, they probably have video cameras around, so you have to
Oh, you'd have to be discreet about it.
How do you, like, try the poop?
You have to, like, get a ski
pass. It's going to be in my gloved hand, and I'm just going to...
You're gonna have to ride your bike over there, stash your bike somewhere like 3 blocks away.
I'm gonna
need a black mask. And black.
Can you let me know when you're doing this? Just so I can, like,
I know I want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I know that was the last straw. I'm like, I can't do it. I can't have this, like, taken away from me.
Okay, so where are we at? So they have to move to an apartment.
It's sounding like
more and more of her freedoms are being taken away from her is what theme.
But okay. She's indoctrinated into this, like,
after 20 years. I mean, so she goes on to say, almost immediately everything changed. We barely speak now. We sleep in separate bedrooms. There's no intimacy, no warmth, no sense of partnership. In every way that matters, we are no longer a couple. It's clear to me that he doesn't want to be married anymore.
Yeah, so it did go from, like, it did become depressing. Like, she did go to this from her. I'm envisioning like a warm home with like, you know, her place and her husband and, you know, they're having,
you would think this was going to give us some financial freedom. Yeah. We're going to be able to go travel now.
So I will accept moving to an apartment.
Yes.
Because I will do this because you're creating a future,
but
right?
But to me, this but sounds not calculated.
Yes.
She went from no employability. I've lost my nest and my community, perhaps.
Yeah.
And now I've lost my partner. Mm-hmm. So like little by little, it sounds like things are being taken.
Yeah.
It sounds like this is a calculated move. If he's the one that's been driving this all along, he drove her to stop working. He drove her to sell the house. Now he's driven her into a separate bedroom. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he doesn't want to be married anymore.
Yeah.
To me, like these are calculated steps. Yeah. She goes on to say, but he also doesn't want a divorce.
Because he probably doesn't want to pay for a divorce.
I know why. If we divorce, this is what she's saying, the money from the sale of our home would have to be divided.
Yeah.
As it would.
And right now he can just mistreat her and shame her because he's already made her small.
Mm-hmm.
And she's become small. And so it's easier just to control her in the other room.
Yeah.
It's cheaper for him to control her.
Right.
And keep her small. Than it is for him to, and she probably believes, and she feels so small now that she probably will just stay in her smallness from fear.
That one, she's thinking the same. I think she's thinking along those lines. By staying married, he keeps control of the situation and the finances.
Yeah.
While getting to emotionally check out completely. She feels abandoned, but also trapped. I've been in the workforce for years, and the reality is that my financial security is now tied to a marriage that exists on paper only.
Yeah.
And she's not wrong. Like,
no, she's not wrong.
I think that's exactly what's going on. So and that is such a scary and vulnerable position to be in.
And how do you rebuild? You know, she's at a spot now where she's like, oh my God, I'm going to have to totally recreate myself at probably 50 or 40.
I hate to say this, but, you know, maybe if he's okay with just how things are going as it is, and he doesn't want a divorce, he just wants to stay
back to school right now. Well,
that's what I mean, is like maybe secretly recreate yourself so that, you know, secretly start getting access to your finances. Get a lawyer. Like, start making a plan
start
for yourself.
Doing your own calculated.
Yes, exactly. Maybe, yeah.
So because half that money is yours.
Meet with a financial planner.
Yeah. No.
You know, this guy has all this business, has
know
all
what
his
your
things.
Legal rights are.
Know what your legal rights are because.
And I hate to say be sneaky, but be sneaky so he doesn't know what you're doing and he thinks you're okay in the situation you are.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he knows that you're trying to like get maybe eventually get a divorce and take half the money, he's going to start making his moves.
Well, oh my God.
It's like a chess game.
I know someone who's like, they were married for 30 years and their husband was, they actually had a cash savings safe. They had a retirement fund. And he was creating like fake documents of like the money was in the fund and everything's looking good. And he had them mailed to the homes and like fake bank accounts. He was hiding and swirling the money away.
A horrible human.
And he had replaced $100 bills with dollar bills in the safe.
What? Oh my gosh.
Very evil calculated things.
This makes me nervous for this woman. I'm like,
right.
The hard thing is she wants to trust him. Like she wants to
trust no one.
No.
Well, think that Adrian did the shittiest things. Like he did stuff like that. Like all of a sudden you go from, you know, the bank accounts always had hundreds of thousands of dollars in it, and you're like, oh no, I'm destitute. Yeah. You know, I told you, like there's accounts, I got tax bills. For a hidden account, you know, and I'm just like, you know, this is stupid. I'm paying taxes for accounts like I'm getting. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just, it's so beyond.
So awful.
Yeah, so.
Icky people are just icky. And you need to cut your ties to them, but she needs to properly.
It sounds like there was the first red flag, like, I don't want you to work anymore. Because to some people, that feels like total freedom. Or like, where, who knows where this happened?
It could have started as like purely innocent on his,
we don't know. Does she have kids from a previous marriage? Well, you know, like, so like, honestly, if, you know, maybe she had small children. So when they got together, it was like, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom for my kids. And he's allowing her to do that. And, you know, and it's like, oh, this sounds bad, but like, there is value to housewives. Like, people like, kind of, oh, you got it, you know, but believe it or not, there are a lot of guys who do like to have a housewife.
Mm-hmm. Well, who wouldn't? I want a housewife.
I think about that all the time.
I would love a housewife.
I have a housewife that changes the oil and like makes dinner. And
You are so lucky.
I love him.
And see, if you have a housewife, she's the one who takes the cars in to get the oil changed if she doesn't change the oil herself.
Yeah.
She's the one who goes and takes the cars into their appointments, takes the, you know, mows the grass, does the trimming, does the, you know, yard work, does the.
Are you saying you're your own housewife?
No.
Or are you Brad's your housewife?
Like, I feel like we're such a great partnership. Like, if I don't make dinner, he makes dinner. Or
vice versa. That's
like,
great.
We kind of fill in the holes where they need to be filled.
Yeah.
I don't know how to change the oil, but I can take it in if needs to be, or he'll do it if he can. Like, it's just like, you know, like, we're a team like that.
Yeah.
But also, I've always had a job, and he's always had a job. Mm-hmm. And like, he got the kids off to school.
You're coming in equally to the relationship, which is how it's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be
50-50. Yeah. And sometimes it's not, but that's okay. Cause then, you know, if it's like, 70-40 for a minute, that's fine. Yeah. As long as you can equal back out again.
But I always told, like, even before we got married, I was like, you know, had our first kid in the middle of grad school. And I was like, oh, gosh, this is like, they don't even want you to work during grad school, let alone, you know, anything else. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I guess my life is over. But it was like, he's like, no, it's not.
We
can do this. It was really important to me, like, to get my degree so that I could work, because that's always been important to me, just because I could see just the vulnerability that happens when you don't have the means to support yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
And like, that's a fear of mine. Like, I will never allow myself to be that vulnerable. And I've always told him that. And he's always known that. Like,
that's definitely a fear of mine too. Just because of what, you know, it's just seeing my mom, you know, getting a divorce and having to, you know, work, like, she had to pay for everything.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it's good she had a job.
Yeah.
That, you know, and so I always thought I don't ever want to be in a position where I can't make money.
Well, you know, and there's been times in our relationship where it's like, oh, you're pulling the plow, and other times that I'm pulling the plow. But it's always like, you know what? Like, it's a 70-30.
Yeah.
30-70. 50-50. Like,
yeah.
But you know what? We're always there to support each other. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm just seeing flags with this dynamic.
Yeah.
Well, there's obviously lots of flags. So
I suggest
she's asking these questions.
Okay.
Is staying legally married without love a form of protection or a form of control?
Control.
It's totally control.
I've got to say, like, my suggestion is you start secretly planning an out so that you will be okay, but I don't think
she's not going to be okay.
Do you think that?
Well, I mean, why do you say she's not going to be okay?
The 50-50, like, the I mean, house?
That hopefully things are clean cut enough.
Well,
but this guy is it sounds like he's kind of been manipulating.
Well, what I'm saying is she's got to be the same way. Like, you have to be as ruthless.
You've got to look out for yourself.
But she can't say anything to him, because then he'll start, like, working against her. She's got to be quiet about it and pretend she is going along with all of it. She's okay with it, but secretly she needs to get...
What if he's secretly doing the same stuff?
Well, he might be, but she keeps... she needs to do the same thing. She
There's
needs
no
to be
trusting.
I hate to say it. She needs to really be calculated in this.
Well, he has been, it sounds to me.
And she needs to remember that, right? She needs to remember, like, he is not working in my best interest. Like, he is working against me. I need to, like, he is my enemy in a sense. I hate to say that because
no, but it's true.
And sometimes in divorce, people are not looking out. They're only looking out for themselves.
So if you were to give advice, I'm just curious, like with this scenario or any in the future, like to your own children about, because, you know, our kids are at that age, they're probably going to be forming lifelong relationships in the next decade or so. Like, what kind of advice would you give them? Would you say, hey, when you're going into a relationship with a person, make sure that you protect yourself, like have separate bank accounts, keep the bills 50-50.
Yeah.
Like, would you go that far?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't think relationships that split the bills 50-50 work, because that's not a team.
Well, I think what I think you need to do is you need to take an account how much each person makes. Like, if you're with, you know, like, let's say my son marries this very wealthy person, right? Who could pay for everything. But like, say like, okay, you can pay for 100%, but you're not going to. Like, you're going to pay for these things, but you make this much amount. So you put a percentage into the pot, then you can pay bills from that. You know, I just think that, of course, it's not fair if it's 50-50 in a way, you know, like.
Okay, but like, let's talk about, like Lisa says, she loves her partnership because they ebb and flow and they share.
That's just life.
They share emotional chores. They share household responsibilities. They share economic responsibilities. And so the thing that she loves is that they ebb and flow and they're with each other.
Because you can't predict the things that are going to happen in
your
life.
So if you're actually...
One person could have a health crisis.
Yeah.
So one person's career field might totally tank.
Exactly. And so if you have rules where you're not a team, where, okay, you're a team, but your team is a documented 50-50 in a sense, then... it's still, well, I'm sorry you're short on your 50-50. You know, you're going to have to figure out how to do that. And I'm going to have, you know,
it doesn't need to be like a strict, like this is how it goes. But I think that you, as a couple, you should have a joint account that all your bills come from, you know.
Yeah, but you also have your own.
Exactly. Nets. Because then you have your own thing going. Like, if you want to buy a cup of coffee, it's your money. You're buying your coffee. If you want to buy clothing,
but this is
it's
different.
Your money.
Though. This is different. You pool the money, and then you both get fun money.
You know
the money.
Okay, yeah, I see
you
that.
What I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, I see
the
that.
The money is all together. You both have your own account, which every month we both get $500 of fun money or whatever. Yeah. You guys just said, and that fun money, out of your $500 fun money, that's not the, you buy all the kids' presents for Christmas out of it, and I spend mine on sporting equipment that I want for my, you know, like, I'm going to spend that on hunting, and you spend yours on buying the family Christmas presents. That's not what that looks like. That's fun
or
money.
Or the family vacation.
Yeah, exactly. That's not what that looks like. There's
that's your girl trip money.
Yeah, that's your girl trip money. That's his, you know, elk hunting license, buying money.
Yeah.
Now, if you guys have, you know, so however you do it, you know, there has to be other funds for other things. But the real thing is, and then if the couple has financial difficulties or, you know, they decide to make a shift, then okay, instead of $500 a month in our private
fund money account. We might not be able to contribute to that for a while.
We might only get $50 each for our fund money account. And guess what? The other stuff is, you know, our family entertainment budget is the only entertainment budget we get.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I think that's a good way to do that.
Because then you're a team. Yeah. This whole, you pay 70% of the bills, I pay 30% of the bills. You know, that's roommates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just so used to that. That's where my brain goes. I know,
and
that's why
it was so fucked up. Yeah. And it was really fucked up because
to be like no longer partners, but roommates.
Yeah.
Well, we never had even like, it's a joint account.
Yeah. So and all like of the bills came out of my account and my account was wiped
I'm coming from a everything separate. Like no, I take care of myself. I take care of my myself. Yeah. You take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And yourself. And then some self.
And also, even though you're 100% responsible for yourself and everything like that, I never understood.
So it's hard for me to shift my perception of that. Of
yeah.
Okay. So what?
Do all the mom duties.
Being a couple and sharing.
Everything gets pulled into the same account and then you get to pull out of that equal amount.
Everything is documented and everything is together. And and it's okay. Yeah. Like let's say this dude, because he owned a business or whatever. If you own a business or whatever, that's his own separate accounts, it's his own separate things. And then the profit from the business or whatever like that goes into the joint account. And if there's business things that are business things, that goes in things. But whatever you're taking, you know, because you have to be.
So
I think we fuck up
with this situation.
Partners.
I just want to point something out. She doesn't mention any children.
Okay.
Anywhere. I've been looking for it and I didn't see any mention of it.
Okay, well, that's good.
So I don't know if they had children from a previous relationship, but I do want to just throw one more bone out there before we finally like answer the final question. Do you feel like if someone brings children to the picture and the other person is then required to devote, because it is a full-time 24/7 job to raise children, and that other person is, you know, devoted to that instead of being able to stay employable, do you feel like, and every state is different on this one, but like, should that be counted as a 50-50 split?
What do you mean?
They come to this relationship. She has money. He has money. He's employable. She's employable. But now there's a child dynamic that one of them has to take on. And I'm not saying it's the male or the female or male and male or whatever dynamic that is. But that other person now is taken out of the job market. They're not bringing in. They're bringing in 0% income to put into that
pot. If they're each other's children. So here's what I'm going to say.
But they're not each other's children.
Well, you're actually not responsible for the other person's, like, okay, so I'm a stepmom. I love being a stepmom. I feel.
But it makes it difficult for you to be employed if you have to 100% child rear in that time.
Oh, well, you know what I mean? But I guess
your
the
ability
thing is
to
that,
bring money into the
So class. I would say this, if I
That's
had,
my question.
If I had kids.
Those scenarios.
Now,
but at the same
that
time,
being said,
you're not working because you're rearing your children. So he is paying for that. Or she is.
Exactly.
Or they are.
Yeah. Or
never.
Yeah. In that. So that's a kindness on your other partners.
Yeah. But I think if you're getting married to somebody who has children.
You better be taking on their children.
Exactly.
I agree with that completely.
I think it is part of the package. You know.
It totally is. But on the same note too.
Financially, maybe. Well, all of it. You're marrying somebody and you're
whether or not
becoming
the other
people's
spouse is going to be doing child support or.
Yeah.
I think you lose spousal support if you do get married. But I think the child support
you
is
don't.
A different scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. You lose spousal support. But
yeah.
But
yeah.
I think there's differences because
you might have to expect that you're taking that on 100% because the other person.
But I think that as long as you're together, I think you're taking a risk. Honestly, if you are a woman, because if you split up with your person who's been supporting you while you were raising your kids with him, because they were like, we're a team and that's a partner, and that's a decent, nice person thing to do.
Yes.
But as the person with that other person, if you choose to give up your livelihood because they're helping you so you can stay home with your kids that are not biologically theirs, and they're being cool. That's a very beautiful, nice thing to do.
But then it doesn't work out?
If it doesn't work out, it's on you. They're legally not responsible to keep supporting you for your kids. So if you trust them, she chose to take that trust. He doesn't have to continue that support. And if you lost your workability because you wanted to be home with your kids and you had that opportunity, you took that chance.
Yeah.
She made that choice. And I probably would have made, and I have made, the same choice.
Which is why it is always going to be, I shouldn't say always, but it is hard for women.
It is really hard for women. Life is not
ultimately
equal.
The burden of childcare does fall
it
on
is.
Us.
And life is not equal for women. And this is like I said to you, this is why, and I really hate to say this because
this is why it's so important for women to have choices in life.
This is why it's because if you want to protect children, you have to protect women. Women's bodies take on things until you equalize.
It's never going to be an equal thing because men will never be able to bear children. And the burden of child rearing is ultimately. And I think that's a very key thing.
If you want to take away women's choices, you have to make the playing field equal.
But I'm saying that is literally impossible to do because men don't have the biological capacity to do that. That is why men need to understand.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, I'm going to get into something else, but I want to touch on it real quick.
Yes.
But,
and this man in this situation is not protecting his woman.
No, he's protecting himself.
He is.
So bottom line, because we probably should wrap it up, because this is very charged.
Yeah. It's so hard.
It just makes me so mad.
You have to be vulnerable for a relationship to work. But unfortunately, women tend to, because we take on the greater vulnerability risk of, I'm going to do the relationship work. I'm going to do the homework. I'm going to do all of that soft work that we talk about.
So this is why I want to say that my man's got big dick energy. Because
we adore
supported
Brad.
Me.
He has.
And he has always made sure that I am going to be safe and protected, whether he is a part of my life or not.
Yeah.
Like, he has always been super supportive, and I want every man to be like mine.
I think that just because a woman has independence does not take masculinity away from a man.
But a lot of men today,
I know,
are starting to think that way.
I know. And it's ridiculous.
I disagree with that a little bit. So I disagree. I suggest a slight shift in perspective on it. I feel like what's happening now is women now have an ability to take care of themselves financially, because we can get credit cards now, we can get our own things. Mm-hmm. And all of those things are really good. So whereas women before had to have men in order to have financial security because of the loans, because of all of those things, this is a new shift from the 1970s. This is we are the first generation to be born.
And I think this is why a lot of men want to keep women financially dependent upon them.
Yes.
They've got small dick energy, and they are so afraid that they're going to, these independent women won't need them.
And,
So
how I want to tweak it is, I think that what is happening is men's role historically has been, I am provider, financial provider, and so I don't have to do anything else. So we are still in a culture.
But that makes women also very vulnerable.
It does.
As in this situation.
Absolutely. In this situation and prime example. And so what I'm thinking, men now still have an expectation of all they have to bring to a table, the table is what they've always brought.
Money.
But now they can bring money to the table, but they're still like, oh, but I don't have to share that with, I don't have to share that money
I want to keep that to myself.
Yeah. So now because you
didn't earn that.
And you have the ability now. I think that this new cultural thing has hurt women because it's like men are like, well, you can take care of yourself now and you can. But so now I think that a lot of guys are sort of along the lines of, well, why can't you be the boss? Even though you were in charge of all of, and in this relationship, I probably bet that she was probably the one in charge of all of the homemaking duties, all of the life shit. She was probably in charge of those things.
That's a choice.
And it was a choice. And she made that choice. And he made that choice. And now that it's time to split the things, he's all like saying, but women now should be able
But none of those things were valuable.
You didn't get paid for that. Here's where men are having a hard time, I think.
Because women are getting themselves in trouble too.
Well, look, what has a man had to do in a relationship?
Oh, yeah.
He's had to just have a job.
Yeah.
And be like, you know,
not
financially taking care of the woman. He hasn't had to show up emotionally. Men have not had to show up emotionally ever.
Ever.
So now women are saying, look, I can take care of myself. I want a partner who is emotionally there. I don't need your finances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need you to be emotionally present.
Absolutely.
And men are lost because they don't know how to do that.
No.
They've had no experience of being emotionally involved in a relationship and showing up that way. Thank God Brad is. I mean, look at that. So there are men.
So that's hard because society does not allow men to exhibit or even understand or display emotion, like in so many ways, shape, and form. I think that has to change too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
And I've had a lot. We've had to have a lot of talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's been a work in progress.
But thank goodness he's willing to listen and like change, you know.
But like, how hard is it to actual change? Like in some senses, like we all talk about how, you know, our the women in our world are our main support.
Well, I will say, like, when it comes to the emotional aspect of like coming to a relationship, like I've had to give a lot of specific guidance and cues about how I need to be emotionally supported.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't come naturally. Mm-hmm. And it's not taught to men. They're not raised to be emotionally supportive. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of on us to help teach them that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yes. I mean, now, but I have a lot of friends that are single right now. And they finding somebody in their like 40s, 50s who can shift that mindset of being like, I'm just the provider. I don't need to emotionally be available. I mean, these men are lost. They have no idea how to do that.
Well, it's true. It is absolutely true because it was never a part of the repertoire. Like, it's just never been.
But how do we as women, though, like, let me ask you this question because now I'm a little bit confused because, like, once again, that is us taking on more of the emotional
burden
to teach them
I agree 100%. But the fact is they are not raised and given the tools.
They weren't. So we
to been, be able to do that.
So we were given the tools to we're still not even equal as far as the financial tools and all of the financial resources that we have. And we still do take the you're gonna have babies hit, you know, in a career stance. Like, you know, employers know that. Oh shit! You know, well, you're 23 and you're young and go, but I'm gonna lose you to, you know, being out having babies.
Well, if only, you know, now like their choice to not have children is being taken away too. So, like sometimes some women could be like, you know what? Like it is financially not like feasible for me to have a child right now. Like,
well, most women. That's why we're not seeing babies being born because women are like,
right?
Why? I have to take care of myself. I have to financially do this. It's not, the playing field is not equal.
I think even couples are choosing not to have like children. They're like, we can't afford daycare. We can't afford.
So,
yeah. But I wonder, as a mother to boys who are now becoming men, how do I hope that maybe I have.
Yes, your
like I don't. Available. I would hope so, but I don't know if they are not. How is there a generation now, or you know, even for us, have we raised our children, our boys, to be emotionally available and show up that way?
On some of those, I think a lot of our our kids' generations, you know, they've in some senses been raised to be victims who think that the world is going to end from global warming. And so, and they're the technology kids who escapism into.
Yeah, there's a different dynamic going on. And every generation faces a new, totally new dynamic that we get to figure out and learn from.
Yeah.
So bottom line, she wants to know, if you were in her position, emotionally alone, financially vulnerable, legally bound, what would you do?
Well, first off, just big hug, honey. You're in a tough spot. It's really sucks to have to acknowledge where you're at and what's happening in your life. So,
Like I said before, I think it's hard to start thinking of this person that you've trusted and lived 20 years with, as somebody that you can't trust and that you've got to work against.
That you have to protect yourself.
Yes, I mean that's a super hardship.
One lesson that I've learned in life is trust. You can't give anyone 100% trust.
No, nope,
no one.
So I mean, I do that.
And it's so hard. It's so hard to shift that mentality.
I think that if you do, you know, love yourself, but put trust in yourself, that you're a strong person, that you can get through things. Maybe you can work through this with your partner, but you need to be very open and vulnerable about what's going on, what you're seeing. And you know, if they're somebody that's being deceitful, because they could straight up lie to you and they can squirrel things away from you, I think it's really important that you look out for yourself.
Sometimes too, I hate to say this, but your gut will sometimes tell you what, you know, that you don't want to think that these things are happening, but sometimes you know.
She wrote so into us, you guys, she knows.
Exactly.
And she knows just that needs
she is
to
being
hear.
Whittled away.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's having her options taken away.
And to her right now,
she's already tested the waters, really. She knows what's up.
She already knows what's up, but here's the thing is she's just asking, does she have it in herself to have this last final straw be whittled away because she doesn't know who she is. And so, you know,
she's got to build that up. She's got to find herself again.
So this is the thing. And if it's safer for you to build that up while you are living in the apartment with him, then do it that way. Plan your exit.
Well,
By
building yourself up, I'm saying
love
yourself enough to take care of yourself and know that you
can
do this.
Go have the hard conversations.
The financial
with the attorney. Figure out.
Work on your employability.
Exactly. Even if it's something stupid right now where you're just like, you know what?
Start networking, girl.
Start networking. Yes. Start.
Like tapping into friends, because she may be emotionally drained too right now. And she may feel like, I don't have energy to even start the process to look out for myself.
I'm sure she does.
So tap into friends. Yeah. They love you and they will be there more than happy to help you.
That's why it's so important.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're in a relationship, to maintain the relationship with your friends. Because I do see that happen.
It is so true.
Yeah. Ask your friends. Say, hey. I need an attorney.
Start doing a podcast with your girlfriends so when you move away, you have to get back together with them.
I know. I love it. Yes. That's one of the most invaluable resources.
Yeah.
So yes, I think we've got the answer.
Yeah. And I think she has the answer too. And it's going to be hard, but you know what? Staying in a situation where every day you get verification that you're not important, that you don't matter, and it sounds like he's totally invalidating your existence, that is also hard, and that's not going to change.
No. Yeah, I mean, it seems like a huge task to undertake to, like, make these plans, make an exit plan, But what's going to be harder is actually, and more draining, is staying in this relationship for a long period of time.
Yeah.
That's, it's going to be even worse. Just, you got to find the energy.
Yeah.
Make it happen. Get out. You know?
I think he's clearly been working towards all along. So
I want to give you a big hug. You're in a hard spot.
I know.
And you know what? Let this be a temporary hard spot by starting to plan your exit as opposed to always living in the hard spot.
Yes. But find ways to fill your cup, please.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
Love well, thank to you. You. I hope.
Yeah. Love to you.
Big time. Well, thank you for actually sending that very.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
So listeners, please. Yeah. Reach out to us. We love to talk about things, and we are not legal representatives, counselors. We are friends that.
Yeah.
Yes. Tap into our invaluable resource. And hopefully we have given you some thoughts.
Yeah.
To ponder. So go to www.myperfectromance.com. It's not a movie. It's just a podcast.
A podcast sitting here before an audience.
Yes. Yeah. So go to that. And you can get links to her social.
Oh, yes. A girl standing before a boy.
I'm thinking right out.
I don't know.
Please do the thing. Guide us. Sorry. Guide us to the end.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Love you.
Love you.
Yep, bye.